And today we are talking about the organization Children First, and we are joined by Sarah Bennett, who is the president of the board of that organization, Kathleen O'Wegan, who is a board member, and she's a mediator who conducts the co-parenting classes, and Ellen Biederman, also a board member, who works with the Safe Haven program. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you.
So Children First, what's it all about? Let me guess. Children.
Children. Our goal is to help children whose parents are going through periods of separation or divorce, or perhaps never married, learn how to co-parent effectively. And that means sharing decision-making when they share custody. So learning how to work together to make decisions, to move forward in a peaceful way and allow their children to have a happy life.
And so what kind of problems come up during a divorce? I suppose to some extent they probably reflect problems that were already there during the marriage.
I have always thought that some parents would benefit, even in intact families, from the co-parenting workshops that we conduct at Children First, because what parents learn is how to communicate in an appropriate way to make decisions together. Some of those problems perhaps existed in the marriage. It's more difficult when you live in different houses. And children don't come, you know, they don't come with an instruction manual, but certainly there is no instruction manual on how to co-parent until you arrive at a recognition that you don't have those skills and you need to go to Children First to learn them.
So, Kathleen, you actually conduct these co-parenting classes. What is the need and what do you teach?
Well, we actually, there's a whole team of facilitators who conduct the co-parenting classes. I'm just one of them. And all of our facilitators are mediators and therapists, people who are familiar with families and co-parenting dynamics. And what we do is we have a program for people who are high conflict, and we have a program for people who are low or moderate conflict. And as Sarah was mentioning, we teach them how to reframe their perspective of the other parent from whatever name they might think of them as that might begin with a B or some other letter, that they think of them as their co-parent instead of the ex or whatever. And so right away we're teaching them to reframe the way they see the relationship as a team, as a new kind of conscious partnership different from the partnership that they're leaving in their relationship.
Right.
And so we teach them how to reframe their perspective of their new relationship and of their co-parent. Then we teach them communication skills, which include things that many people have been exposed to elsewhere and many have not. Things like iMessages, active listening, negotiation skills, and so that our goal is that by the time they finish our classes, they see one another as a team in support of the well-being of their child, and they've put away whatever issues they were carrying that came from the old relationship, and that they are able to negotiate changes in their parenting plan when they need to, decisions that need to be made about their children's future, and that their children then do not feel the trauma of parental conflict, because statistics show that divorce is not the traumatizer for children. It is conflict. Children can adapt to any change in their lifestyle with a strong co-parenting team supporting them. Yeah. It's when the parents are in conflict and insulting and denigrating each other in front of the children that the children become then traumatized.
Well, divorce is also a trauma.
It can be. But so many people will stay in a conflicted relationship just to avoid the big D, the big divorce, or the big separation, when in fact that exposure to that conflict is traumatizing to the children. And regarding your comment to Sarah earlier, in fact we have many of our co-parenting teams who said if they had had these tools before their relationship went south, they may never have had to transition their relationship in the way that they did through divorce and separation.
Right.
Yes, and so you're absolutely right. If people had those skills ahead of time, it would make so much difference.
Yeah, that'd be another another nonprofit or another wing of
absolutely.
Of this. Yeah, because like you said, you don't have to get a license to get to get married or to have kids, or you don't have to take classes, and some people probably need it.
Well, what happens is that when people go into a romantic relationship, there's no forethought, there's no consciousness, there's no agreements and clarification of expectations, and so sometimes those relationships don't work out, and so we're inviting them into a new relationship that's a conscious one, where they have skills and they have the ability to work together regardless of what structure they're in.
Do you find that certain problems that couples come in with, because you've been watching this for quite a long time, make it really harder? For example, betrayal or money conflicts or things like that, when they bring that in, it makes it harder for the kids?
Absolutely. And what happens is that there is so much pain and anger around those kinds of situations that the parents end up spewing that at the other parent in front of the children, which causes the children to feel traumatized. And so what we teach them is ways to put that somewhere else, not in front of the children, and to focus not on what happened in the past, but how do we co-create a future that is peaceful and focused on the well-being of our children, rather than focused on punishment and retaliation for whatever didn't work in the relationship.
Which are probably good skills for the workplace and for making the world a better place and that kind of stuff too.
Absolutely. These are many of the same skills that we teach in, that mediators learn to use, and that we teach in all kinds of conflict resolution arenas. And Children First has just taken this one step further and taken the tools and adapted them for a co-parenting situation.
Now, where are the kids when you're doing this work with the parents?
Well, they're with some other caregiver. The parents are not in the same group together, so very often the children are just with the parent who's not in class at that time. We ideally have the parents going through concurrent classes, but on different nights of the week. And almost never are the parents in the same group together, so that they have an opportunity to not feel uncomfortable and restricted by the presence of the other parent. Many times we have what we call bonus parents in the group, and a bonus parent is what common society would call a step parent. But that new person, we invite them, we encourage them to come to the co-parenting classes too, because they often, advertently or inadvertently, are a contributor to the conflict dynamic. So if we can teach them additional skills in communication and negotiation, it just creates a larger, more supportive team for the children.
I would think that one of the things you have to be very careful of, or that parents should be very careful of, is not bad-mouthing the other parent.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that we emphasize a lot in class, is that psychological studies show that children self-identify as part mommy and part daddy. So if mommy's a witch and daddy's a loser, then what am I?
Right.
And so part of what we teach them is to not put down the parent in front of the children, not to the other parent, not to their friends. Whatever ventilating of that nature they need to do, they should do it in a safe and private environment with a counselor or a friend or someplace out of earshot of the children.
Now, the groups are not gender segregated.
That's correct. We have both men and women in every group. But we rarely have the same co-parenting team in the same group. Our facilitators, we always have two, and we always have a man and a woman, so that they're reflecting the group themselves. And we must all have been through a difficult divorce ourselves, either as a divorcing parent or as a child of a difficult divorce, so that none of our facilitators are coming from a place that is estranged or different from what our participants have experienced at some level.
Do people like you, who are mediators, tend to come from conflicted families and conflicted situations? I mean, is that what drives you into the profession?
I don't know. They often say that mediators are almost always middle children. So somehow we're in the middle of a family, and we start negotiating, you know, from the time we're wee little ones. But I don't know if that really, how much that plays out. For me, my personal incentive is that I'm one who wants to restore harmony to the planet, and disharmony happens one to two people at a time. So rather than work on a planetary level, I work on an individual level. And so for me, it's all about restoring harmony, and it's all about making the world a better place for the babies. And so working with Children First lets me do both at the same time.
We're talking about Children First with Kathleen O'Wegan and Sarah Bennett and Ellen Biederman. Now, Ellen, you do the Safe Haven program. What's that?
That's another component of Children First. And for parents
who haven't successfully gone through the co-parenting plan or can't seem to figure it out, but the court has ordered visitation or even joint custody, but the parents are in so much conflict that they can't even see each other to exchange the children. Safe Haven provides a safe way that they can do that without putting the child in the middle of a conflict situation. So parents, because the person who has the child will come and go to one place, and then the other parent will come 15 minutes later, and a Safe Haven volunteer will actually physically transfer the child from one parent to the other.
And so the parents don't have to see each other.
They don't see each other at all. They come at different times and they leave at different times. And there's a volunteer with each parent at all times.
Oh, okay. And so for 15 minutes, the kids get to play in the Safe Haven or hang out.
They play in the space that we've set up. It's done in churches, actually. And it's done right now at Temple Beth Shalom and at the Unitarian Church. And we have toys for the kids. And, you know, sometimes the parents are doing last-minute instructions for them, or the kids are – it depends on the age of the kid. Because the kids – we've exchanged kids as young as 6 weeks, and then there's teenagers. The parents still can't figure out how to let the teenager even, like, walk to the other parent's house or do it after school. So we provide a place for them to do that. The children end up feeling very comfortable and going back and forth once they get used to it, so it does provide that, quote, safe place for it to happen.
You know, some of those exchanges between parents before Children First were done at the McDonald's parking lot or at a police station.
Right.
Just to have a public witness to avoid the conflict. So it's so much more friendly for a child to be in a calm, you know, the faith, Temple Beth Shalom and Unitarian Church are lovely, calm places. And so
which is what they're supposed to be about in the first place.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it seems that it contributes to everybody's well-being to have it there.
The other thing that's been interesting is we've had several families where it's actually been a grandparent that's been trying to get visitation rights. And we've done the exchange because the grandparent is in conflict either with their daughter or son or their daughter or son-in-law, and we've done the exchange so the grandparent can have visitation rights, which has been really interesting dynamics going on. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of variations of who actually does it, but the emphasis again is making the child has a smooth transition as possible.
Now, do you see in this work people actually changing, calming down, and really becoming better co-parents?
You know, I come to it as a lawyer. I do divorce law, and I have had many of my clients go to the workshops and report to me what a wonderful message they received, and they were so grateful for the skills, and they were glad to be able to bring back to their relationship the ability to communicate in a better way, and some of them have actually reported that their life has changed, even if the other co-parent hasn't taken the course. It allows them to process those pieces of information in a different way and monitor their own behavior better. It's a wonderful contribution. I think for the courts, of course, we provide a lot of support for the courts. Many of these cases are in frequent litigation in the courts, and there's disputes over custody. The courts refer us a great majority of our clientele. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of, you know, implications for our society as a whole, the courts, the burden on the courts, and all of those kinds of things that we're addressing by helping people in the way that Kat just described.
Mm-hmm. And I would just like to add that we have seen profound shifts in many, many people. We have a very high success rate of some degree of shift, positive shift in the relationship. And in our 13-week class, which is the higher conflict group, that usually by about week 5, people are starting to see possibilities and maybe starting to see the co-parent in a little bit different light, and they're willing at that point, which is about when we start giving them the communication tools, they're willing to actually try them. And sometimes they won't try them on the co-parent. Sometimes they'll try them on their boss or a coworker. And we had one woman come back and report that she successfully negotiated her first raise from her boss when she wasn't ready yet to talk to her co-parent, but she was willing to practice in another arena.
That's great.
So we've seen huge shifts.
And I'd like to say also with the Safe Haven, many, many parents, I mean the majority, thank us for providing the services, although it doesn't necessarily help resolve the relationship with the other parent, it allows them to relax with their child so they know there's not going to be a conflict at that point of transition from one parent to the other. And that only has a positive benefit on the child because they know the child will have a safe transition.
A lot of people who have small children who get divorced eventually marry or team up with somebody else. Mm-hmm. I would think this would make their second relationship stronger too.
Potentially, very much so. And we've had that report from parents who have brought in their new partner, and that person has taken the class as well, that they've said that, yes, this gives them a new kind of foundation, and now they recognize the value of articulating boundaries and expectations and negotiating outcomes in their ongoing relationship. And so, yes, just like it might have saved some of those marriages, it creates a good strength and foundation for new relationships.
Now, your courses are available in English and Spanish?
At the present time, they're only available in person in English. One of our growth areas is to get a Spanish-speaking class. We do have a new online program for people who are not court-ordered. Court-ordered people normally have to come to the face-to-face classes because they need that kind of learning process. But for people who are not court-ordered, who do not speak fluent English, or are in another state, we have an online co-parenting class. And the online class, I believe, is available in multiple languages. And also in our online program, we have a facet called, that is a portal to a program, an online program called Our Family Wizard, which allows parents to work on their parenting plan, their calendar, the address book for all their children's providers. All of that can be coordinated online so that parents can work with all of that without even having to communicate directly with one another. So we have programs, and we're increasing our programs as quickly as we can to include in-person Spanish classes.
So the Safe Haven program is a free program, and the classes, there's a cost, but it's on a sliding scale, so it's really available to everybody in the community who wants or needs these services.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Now, of course, this has to be funded. And you are having a fundraiser coming up on Sunday, October 7th at 3 o'clock at the Lensic. What's happening?
Hillary Smith and her Soul Kitchen Band is giving a concert to benefit Children First and actually also the Friendship Club. We're doing a joint fundraiser for two not-for-profits. And
we
feel good about that because everyone feels they're always competing with everyone. And we're really excited about it because it's going to be, she's fabulous. She does kind of rhythm and blues and gets people up and dancing and moving. It's appropriate for all ages and family. She actually played up at St. John's and on the Plaza this summer, both places, to hugely great response. And a lot of people missed her because of the weather or whatever, were nervous. So we're very excited about it.
Excellent. And so that's on the 7th of October,
right.
And people can get their tickets just at the Lensic box office.
Right.
505-988-1234. And for more information, it's also ticketsantafe.org, I think.
Yeah, or you can also go to lensic.org.
Right.
It all leads you to the same place.
Mm-hmm. And for more information about Children First New Mexico, it's childrenfirstnm.org. And you can find out more there. Anything that any of you want to add before we go?
I would just also like to include our phone number, which is 505-473-7630. And while our main website where you can get a calendar of classes is childrenfirstnm.org, if people would like to explore our online options, that is childrenfirstusa.org. So either one of those sites will link to the other, and all the information is available there.
You know, the thing that is, to me, really exciting about Children First, among many things, is that it is an unusual program. This is not something that's available in every city in New Mexico. Max August had a very good idea. He was our founder, and worked with Kat and others to create a wonderful curriculum. and these workshops, and they are available. Santa Fe is very fortunate to have this kind of workshops. There are very few comparable programs in the United States. We hope to expand and build on this, and it seems to be going that way, but it is something that is really a treasure for Santa Fe and New Mexico, and hopefully it will expand into a broader market over the years, but it is unusual.
Yeah, I mean, I can't help but think of, as we discussed, all the different domains of a person's life in which these skills could be used, and Kathleen O'Egan's modest goal of creating peace and harmony on Earth.
But certainly with the growth in the number of divorces, and certainly the number of children who are born to never married parents, perhaps parents who never had a relationship of any meaningful sort prior to having a child together, these kinds of skills are becoming more and more necessary in the world that we live in.
Sarah Bennett is the president of Children First. Kathleen O'Egan is a board member and mediator. She does the co-parenting classes. Ellen Biederman works with the Safe Haven program. And don't forget, Sunday, October 7th at 3 p.m. at the Lensic, Hillary Smith and Soul Kitchen, a benefit for Children First. Thank you all so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.